When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Guys, welcome to Knife Talk. This is the number one knife-related podcast on this germ-infested planet with me, Jeff Fader, Fader Knives, Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives, and Mareko Momasi, Momasi Fire Arts. This is a weekly podcast. We've been coming up on 6 years of doing this weekly. 6 years. I think six or seven. I don't remember.
I think seven.
I think you're right, of course. Yeah. And this is the number one. We make it happen for you, part of the knife making community, and we're here for you. You don't have to be a knife maker to listen to this. It's me and Craig. Unfortunately, Mareko couldn't be here, and it's probably my fault, which is, we'll talk about that. Craig, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, really good. Still in Wales. The most echoey room of all time here.
I don't hear it. You sound great.
Okay. Wasn't sure how it would sound.
Sounds great.
But good. So, yeah, my band are in the studio tomorrow. So I'm at the studio now. We're sort of prepping, getting everything set up ready for tomorrow. Yeah, really excited. So, yeah, it's been a good week. It's been quite hectic, really, because getting everything in order, ready, you know, so we know exactly what we're doing. So when we come in, we can just get straight on it. So, yeah, it's just been quite stressful, but a good week, yeah. There's this event, where we're staying in Wales, there's an event which they do every year across Wales called the Eisteddfod, which is basically like a festival of sort of Welsh culture, I suppose.
Huh.
And that's in the town where we are at the moment, in Pontypridd. And it's just taken over completely, and it's just really nice to see. There's just, everybody's happy, there's flags everywhere, and it's just, yeah, the sun has been shining, so there's just been lots of joy. So it's been a really nice week, actually, so yeah, all good.
To prepare for tomorrow, obviously you have a set amount of time. Do you have like a schedule of what you need to get accomplished? Or like a cut list of...
Roughly, yeah. But I mean, a lot of it hangs on. We've got a string quartet coming in for a couple of the songs on Wednesday. So we need to have something. We need to have those songs down at least rough by then. You know, we need to get the tempos right and everything by then. You know, we can re-record our bits, but, you know, we're not going to be re-recording them, so we need to make sure we got a good base for them to do their thing on Wednesday. That's pretty much it, really. Yeah, and we got four songs to do in 5 days. A lot of the songs we've been doing, three of the songs we've been doing live for a bit, so you know they're pretty tight, so we should be pretty quick. But yeah, you know, it's studio hours, so you know you can be working, you know, how long it takes per day to get things done. But then on Friday, we leave the studio and we head up north to Cheshire, which is sort of Manchester way, because we're playing a big festival on Sunday. But we've decided to go down on Friday and actually enjoy the festival instead of just turning up, playing and going. So we're camping for the whole band. We're camping for the weekend.
So that'll
be fun. Yeah. And we're playing then Sunday, early Sunday evening. So, yeah. It'll be fun.
Are you sharing tents or?
We are. Yes. Oh, yes. Four of us. It's like a circus tent. It's this massive tent we've got. So yeah, so it'll be fun at least. So yeah, it's a really exciting week. And yeah, it's, you know, it feels like it's summer and it's festivals and it's everything's happy and it's all good. Everybody I see and everybody I see walking down the street even has a smile on their face. It's a good time of year.
When you go camping, make sure you bring your batoning knife. We get a lot of batoning.
Yes, yeah.
We got a lot of batoning comments about our last couple episodes. You said batoning wood is so foolish.
I won't be doing any of that, believe me.
Oh no, you'd be kicking the wood, right?
No, we got catering trucks. I mean,
oh yeah, look, high level.
We're the artists, you know. We go to the catering tent. Yeah,
this is glamping. This is called. Yeah. I don't even think it's camping. It's like a caravan or something, right?
Well, no, we're in a tent, but we're in like the artist field, so we'll have showers and you know all the rest of it.
Oh, jeez. You deserve it. You're working hard.
Exactly. So what's been going on with you anyway?
Well, let's just start with the reason why Mareko isn't here is I give you and Mareko high stars as parents because you do spend a lot of time with your kids, even though you're both very busy, and I think that's really great. You sent a message on Thursday saying, hey, you know, I got the kids by myself and I'm having a hard time, you know, whatever, you know, and can we do it a different day? And I decided I'm a big fan of being flexible, except for the fact that as soon as something, I'm so busy these days that as soon as there's like a crack in the armor of an appointment being changed, I'm out of it. I'm into something else. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I got this to do. We just had a meeting. We're investing in something in the business that's like a big deal, and it's like it's money and time and energy and stuff like that. We're gonna get a new website. We hired a guy, and it's like a big production, and it's like it's gonna be countless meetings, and it's the whole thing's a production. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, that's fine. So when Mareko responded saying, well, I can't do it this weekend, well, what do you want to do? As soon as I got the message from Mareko, we're trying to work the scheduling out, I got a message from my landlord. My landlord says, hey, are you at the shop? Are you around to talk?
Oh.
That's not the text that...
Ominous.
Here's the backstory is though, my landlord and I are really, really tight. I've known him since I was 19 years old. I've made sculpture in his restaurants in New York City forever, and we just reconnected back up here. We have a very good relationship, but, you know, things change, and he's got new managers of the properties, and I had some things had to be changed, and, you know, electrical stuff changed, and you know what? So he sends me a message. I don't get a lot of messages from him. I'm just like, well, let's just take care of this. So as soon as, you know, Mareko writes, well, what do you guys want to do? And I'm just like, all right, I'm gone. You know, I'll see you. I don't have time to fucking podcast out. The who knows? You know, something could be my lease. You never know. I want to take care.
They're
the worst
messages. Like, can we talk?
Yeah.
It's just like,
are you around?
Give me some context. You know, right.
So in my mind, I'm just and for me, I'm not a lingerer. I have to fucking like. You send me a message like that, I'm calling you, or I'm showing up at your house within minutes. Yeah. I'm not lingering around.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I just got to take care of this. I'm thinking, we got all this stuff to do. We're doing the new website, and the electrical bills have changed, and all this change, you know, money's piling up. I wonder what's going to be.
Yeah.
So I get a hold of him, and I say, hey, what's going on? He's just like, hey, you're perfect. I'm going to Burning Man again this year, and I have this Jeep that I'm sending out to, this truck that I'm sending out. And I wanted to know if you could help me kit the truck out for Burning Man. And I'm like, fuck yes. So I go to his garage. And I grab, number one, I grab the skull. I said, all right, well, if I'm going to go up there, I'm going to go up there with some shit. I made this giant steel skull, Impala skull. And I'm like, I'm going to bring this up to him. And say, you got to put this on your truck.
See, so like B.A. Baracus, you've got an ankle grinder, you're modifying this truck.
Well, not too. And... I mean, we're not destroying it. We're adding things to it. Okay. So at first I'm terrified. Then as soon as he says, I'm going, you know, the funny part is he goes, yeah, I'm going to Burning Man again this year. And we're sending a Jeep out. And I was wondering if you could, I'm like, you got it. Whatever you want. Are you kidding me? I'll fucking build you. Whatever. I'll build you whatever. And on my mind, I'm thinking like, everything's cool. And you know, At the very least, I'll build you whatever the fuck you want. So I'm building this deck for the back so he can have girls standing on it and roll bars so he can hang out on the, I guess they call it the playa, so he can hang out on the playa, and I'm doing all this custom shit. I'm just like, you got it, whatever you want. And everything's cool, and it was funny, but it was funny because in my mind, you know, anxiety takes over. And it's just like, all right, well, obviously I'm going to be evicted, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then it's totally.
I mean, then my mind goes straight to eviction. All right, where are we going to? I'm going to go back to the garage. I'm going to go back to the shed. And everything's cool, and I'm working on this project for him. And then we're doing other things. But it's really funny because, you know, the way the mind works, it's always just like when it rains, it pours, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then because he asked you a favor, and, you know, it was something fun, you were all in immediately. Well, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because exactly. I mean, he could have said, hey, I need you to build a staircase. I'd been like, you got it. Well,
the relief is like, yeah, of course. What do you want?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Whatever you want. Yeah, absolutely. That was the best part. I was just like, oh, man. I mean, it couldn't have been like, I couldn't have been more excited. I ran up. I had this skull. I said, you got to put this skull on the hood of the car. He's like, oh, that's fucking perfect. And, you know, we're building these roll bars for so girls can, you know, stand on the back and they're safe. And I'm building all the structure and we're doing it's hilarious. Hilarious. Frankly, it's hilarious, and it's the kind of shit I love to do. It's like, it's not the stuff that's like, you know, important. It's the stuff that's like I could tell the story, and then I called my my business partner Tony, and I was telling him all about it, and he actually, Tony's dad was an engineer at Burning Man, so for years Tony used to go. I'm telling him the whole story, and then Tony ends up saying, "You know what they say, the playa provides." I guess that's the expression of Burning Man, because it's the playa. You're on the playa, and you don't have to pay anything when you get there. As soon as you get there, everything's free. And really? The whole thing is the playa provides. So Tony goes to me, he's like, oh, well, you know what they say, the playa provides. So things have been pretty busy. But
yeah, nice.
I had and I'm, you know, I got meetings with this web designer and web strategist and website guy, and I'm nervous because it is a lot of money. And
what's the deal? What's the purpose behind getting a new website?
Well, our website sucks. We need to get more people. We need to get more people to buy stuff. Make it easier to read. Make it a little bit more streamlined. It's not a Squarespace thing, you know. Unfortunately, there are there are people who are also strategists for how you can maximize not only your website but how it's seen. So this guy does that too, and he's done it for Tony a few times, and he's Tony really, really likes him a lot, and he's also very much not like I need the job, I need the money. It's more like, all right, here's what we need to do first, and we got to hire a photographer, and there's a lot. This fucking thing is going to be
present yourself in the best possible light. Yeah.
Well, see, so that leads us, presenting ourselves in the best possible light brings us into, I think, a great topic of conversation that we should broach, which is the concept of etiquette. Etiquette. Social media etiquette. And I thought we could bring up a couple stories. We'll bring up my story first. And basically, you know, on Knife Talk, if you follow us on Instagram, Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, that's where you can send us your questions, your bits, listener feedback, and whatever, really honestly, whatever you want. So we get a lot of messages in regards to the knife making community, how great the knife making community is, there's a big swing. There's people who feel like people are gatekeeping their information, and I sent a message to a guy, you won't help me, and what kind of community is this? Meanwhile, you got other guys who are just like, this is the greatest community of all time, so supportive and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I thought what we could do would be a conversation about etiquette. And the one thing I wanted to start off with was how much should we give to our fellow knife makers? What is the point at which you've and I'm saying this, when I think about how I'm going to say it sounds terrible, but when is enough enough? And it's like, if somebody asks you something, what's the appropriate amount of information you can give that's helpful and good?
Yeah.
Without you being, you know, just ripped
dick
off.
About it. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Or being ripped off is really what
I see what you mean. Yeah. Yeah. Without giving too much and taking all your ideas. Yeah.
The fact remains is, since we've been doing this for 7 years, in the beginning, it was just like, I'll tell anybody anything. And then all of a sudden, it's like you're birthing clones. Mm-hmm. You know, you see people learning how to do things and seeing how to do things and you're getting information, and guys like Mareko are super helpful. And I think I'm helpful. I think you're helpful. I think on this podcast, I mean, I think personally, in my heart of hearts, I feel like we've done enough. I mean, this podcast is enough. It's like, don't get
we've
my fucking
enough.
DMs. We've fucking done enough. I mean, we've done more than enough. We kept you fuckers company and we've taught you how to make shit. And, but when is enough enough?
I think helping people is great, but what I'd prefer to do is help people help themselves. So if somebody were just to come and say, how do you do X, Y, Z, and they want it all laid out to them. I mean, if you told them, as you say, you're birthing clones, they just do exactly that. But if you say, you could look here, or you could try this, or, you know, so-and-so does a bit of that, or something like that, I think it requires them to do a bit of digging and to educate themselves a bit more rather than just being spoon-fed, which in the long run is better for everybody, surely. So, if and sometimes like you get requests of people saying, I've tried this, I've tried this, I've looked here, I've looked there, and you think, well, okay, they've put a bit of effort in, maybe, right. If I can help, I will. But sometimes when it's people's first port of call, just a message and say, how do you do this? Could I have pictures? Could I have videos? It's like, put some fucking effort in yourself, you know?
It's funny because there are so many variations of helping people. And there's almost like this guide. You could do a, not a guideline, but like perfect example is I learned from Aaron Goff that when you're drilling holes for your knife, you heat treated the knife. And then if you take your scales and you fix the bolster and you get them all squared away, you got two sets of scales. You put two tiny dots of super glue on them, let them dry, and then you form the bolster like that. And then you keep the super glue on there. You take a clamp, you clamp your knife as your drill holes, and then you can use that knife that's already heat treated as your guide for the drill holes. That was a fucking good tip. But it isn't a tip that's like, now I'm making Aaron Goff knives. It was like a good, helpful tip to help people.
Knife hacks.
Knife hacks. Right. Knife hacks. I mean, that was a good one. I had a guy who asked me about cryo, and I kind of helped him in regards to, well, you know, do this and do that. I didn't feel like those were gatekeeping. I don't feel like those were gatekeeping things.
Yeah.
When you start to do, like, how do you do your specific thing, you know, then all of a sudden, I wonder if that is the etiquette. I remember asking years ago, a guy had a texture that I really liked, and I was trying to figure out how he did it. I wasn't new to it, and I wasn't new to blacksmithing, and I wasn't new to making things. But at the same time, I thought, man, that shit is crisp. I wonder how he does it. And I sent it to him. I sent a message saying, oh, man, that texture really is great, and the contrast and the color and everything like that. How did you do that? And he goes, it's a family secret. He left it at that. And I thought to myself, what an asshole. And I thought, what a fucking asshole. And that's a shitty thing to say. And then I got pissed off that he was like, but at the same time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time in my deep down into my black heart, I knew I'd have fucking done it. If he had told me, in my black heart, I know I'd have tried a variation of that or done something like that.
Yeah, and you could have maybe phrased it slightly different, but yeah, I know what you mean.
At the same time, part of me was just like, at the time, I was just like, what a dick thing to do. And then I was like, you know what? Now that I look back, and I was just like, yeah, you should respect that. Did I take the sweatshirt I bought from his website and turn it into rags? 100%. But I mean, that's me biting my nose to spite my face.
He's in the book. He's on your list.
Yeah. In my list. When I went to Florentine Kitchen Knives now, I learned how to make his knives. Yeah. So I made a couple variations. And I would never sell them, but he gave me parts and I made some of his knives for my guys and everything like that. And then I was like, I made one of my own knives and it looked so close that I was just like, this is staying here. I can't go down the road of, you know, making something close enough to Florentine Kitchen Knives that I'm going to be like, I'm going to have a conversation with him. I don't want that, you know, because out of respect and stuff like that.
And also, I think that's what everybody's chasing as well, to have their own specific design that when people look at it, it's like, oh, well, that's a Jeff Vader knife or whatever it may be. Surely that's what most people want as well, you know. But there is an easy way out of copying somebody else's design. You're not, you know.
It's a weird situation, and there's a lot of people who would spin it and say, you know, there is no such thing as competition, and there's plenty of money out. I get this every so often. Oh, there's plenty of money out there.
Yeah.
Well, if you spent the time and the energy to develop something that you hold dear, you'd like to hold it as long as possible instead of it being ripped off. And, you know, I think that there's a degree of like, we can be this great community and be supportive of each other, but we don't have to cannibalize our own product in order to do so. You know, I just feel like as though there needs to be a real delineation in terms of what are we doing? How are we going to help people? I mean, I help people as often as I can. Now, with that said, the next step of etiquette would be how we interact with each other online, on our posts, on our business posts. I recently had, everybody's direction for their social media is different. And I would never tell anyone what their direction should be. You want to talk politics? Be my guest. You want to talk about, you know, nonsense or stuff that's not knife related? Be my guest. If you want to do, what I'm trying to do is avoid the algorithm problems. I'm trying to be different than everybody else. I'm also trying to do more cooking. My analytics show that when I do cooking videos, I get better numbers in regards to, you know, people watching and also people sharing and people sending it to other people. But also, like, I get new followers and new views around. Yeah. I'm working around the algorithm.
More visibility.
More visibility. So, and I also fuck around a little bit. Like, I just did one where I get some messages of people saying, I really love your oyster knives, but I don't eat oysters. What should I do with them? So I fucked around. I did what was just like, it would be funny if I did, I'll use it as a lock pick, open up a can of thing, and then I shotgunned a seltzer water and let out a big burp at the end. I just thought, let's fuck around a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and then one person asked me, I always wanted to try my hand at it might have been a listener, and this is no disrespect. This is no disrespect. I appreciate you. I'm using you as an example, and think about it. I'm sending you this peace and love. And he's just like, I want to try my hand at making oyster knives. So you think? And he started asking me all these, started asking me questions on, the correct grinds and sharpening and all this stuff on the oyster knives. And part of me was just like, when we get this a lot in terms of, once you learn how to make a knife, all of a sudden it's just like, if I can make one knife, I can make all knives. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I've tried to be as respectful as possible and say, you got to learn how to open up oysters. And then, but in part of me is just like, yeah, this isn't the place, And he ended up saying, I should send this to Knife Talk. And I was like, perfect. We talk about oyster knives all the time on Knife Talk.
Yeah.
And part of me is just like, sometimes knife makers will come onto people's business pages. And in this situation, it was not rude. I wasn't upset about it. It was perfectly, awesome. But once in a while, I'll do a cooking video and I'll get a crack from someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the craziest part is we've eaten more meat because of this fucking Instagram page, because if I cooked what I cook at home for my wife and daughter, nobody would want it because we eat more vegetarian than normal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in my mind, I'm thinking nobody wants. And I said that. And I said to my wife, I was like, nobody fucking wants to see me make, broiled tofu. Nobody wants that. I mean, and I'm trying to also attract a new type of viewer, someone who maybe wants to buy a knife or interested in food, stuff like that. Somebody who can be interested in food and maybe, uses to buy a knife. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, completely. And I mean, it's thought. I mean, you're on about people, putting stuff on, let's say Instagram, for example. They could be fucking around or whatever they're doing. You do fuck around, but everything you do is sort of thoughtful. There's an end goal to it.
Right.
You know about your analytics and you know what you're trying to chase. So everything you do has intention behind it. And I think that really shows. But yeah, I think we sort of, I mean, I don't get it because I'm not really on Instagram so much now. But, certainly when I was, I think because we do this show where, we obviously answer questions and all the rest of it and we mess about. People hear us, every Monday morning for an hour or so.
Right.
And they maybe hear an our voice more than they hear, some of their friends maybe, or, other people around. So I think there's this whole thing of community, but I think a lot of people think we are sort of personal friends, and that's
right.
That's not the case. So yeah, I've had it in the past where, you get comments and you think, well, that's a bit over familiar, if you like,
Yeah.
And I think, it's not just us because we do the show. I think there are other sort of makers out there and they may be known for being super helpful or they may be known just for doing amazing work. So they have, a big sort of following. And I think people again, can be way too over familiar with them as well. And like you've said many times, you know, this is a business page. You're trying to do business here. You know, if you're going to fuck around, do that somewhere else, but not, you know, don't come into my shop and start fucking about, you know?
Perfect segue into, I said to my wife, I'm like, I got to cook beef. I got to cook chicken. I got to cook shit that people actually want because I want to get people excited about. I got to make delicious looking food. And sorry, but some of the shit we make is not delicious. I mean, it's like, it's great. It tastes great, but it's not. So I'm making more stuff. And then I was talking to Chris Zeppieri, who had a really good advice. He's such a smart guy and make everything in terms of business. He says, the thing about Instagram is people don't look back. They're not, things kind of die on the vine. You know, so like something you put up this week, in a week or two, no one's going to see it again.
Yeah.
So you might as well, you're better off just kind of being consistent, throwing things up, you know, and not being too over concerned about the longevity of it, because after a while, I ain't going to. So in my mind, yeah. I put up a reel, I do one, I'm like, you know, fuck it, who cares? I made a steak thing, and then I made a chicken this and chicken that. I'm like, we're eating so much goddamn beef, it's like ridiculous. Totally. More beef. We've had more beef in the last, you know, month than we had in the last year. So oh, it's wow. ridiculous. Wow. So, well, more or less. So I was trying to make something quick. We didn't have anything in the refrigerator. And I thought to myself, I bet I could make something in under a minute that tastes delicious. So I got a whole wheat pita or a whole wheat, like a tortilla. I threw we had some nice sharp cheddar, provolone. We had a half an open can of chickpeas, threw the chickpeas on there, heated the whole thing up, threw some like arugula on there, you know, a little bit of olive oil, you know, lemon juice, salt and pepper, all this stuff. And I wrapped it up. Yep. I was like, this is fucking delicious. And I was like, it's not really what, you know, it's not going to blow people's doors off. But it was like, I made the fucking thing under, you know, under a minute, and it was like delicious. So like, I made a quick reel and I posted on it thinking, all right, well, just get something up there. Keep familiar, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So my friend Matt Stagmer, who I love, and this is not Matt Stagmer is my friend. I love him, and I'm just using, he ain't listening to this, but if you are listening to this, you're being used for this moment. However, peace and love and respect. Matt Stagmer's my man. He wrote, that doesn't look very good, or something like that. Oh, that's not it. Something like that. It opened the doors for other people to say, yeah, I was about to say the same thing, and that doesn't look, I wouldn't eat something like that. And then I was like, my move is always leave it alone.
Yeah.
When I send a message or back, I want to make sure that my message is an emoji or something that requires no more. You don't require my.
You don't open a conversation. Yeah.
You don't need my assistance anymore. this emoji, this champagne glasses emoji requires no response. Mm. You know, so actually you'd only do. Well, he wrote, that doesn't look very good. Something along those lines. It wasn't disrespectful, but he was breaking my balls. Another guy comes on. He's like, yeah, I was about to say the same thing, Matt. I'm so glad you said that. It was just like, and then he realized that it was not being helpful to me. He realized that. I didn't have to say anything. I was just like, you know what? I'm better off just leaving it alone. Somebody's not looking at the comments and they're just like, well, that's weird. And maybe this is something. So he wrote back. He's like, hey, you know what? I'm just breaking my friend's chops, and this looks great, and everything he makes always looks great. And I really, you know, I didn't mean it to turn into a conversation. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, get rid of the fucking reel. Just cut the reel loose. I don't need this in my life. It's not the end of the world. I didn't think it was a great reel anyway. But a part of me was just like, the people making those comments were like knife-making people who are the same people who says this is such a great community. And I thought to myself, why would you do anything other than be supportive of someone's, you know, Instagram page? Because this is our business page.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like this. Imagine you've fished before, right?
Yeah.
You go
badly.
Fishing. So let's
badly, all right, badly, yeah.
all right, badly, good, doesn't matter. Let's say you go to a lake. You're the only one on the lake. And you got a little boat, and you're quiet. You got all your stuff. You're ready to go. You'd never know. Fishing is one of the greatest things. There's so much potential and hope, and this is the day, and this is the day, this is the day. You get on the lake, and you're quiet, and there's not a beautiful out. You're just like, I'm going to fucking kill it today. I'm going to catch so much fish, and you're being quiet and everything. And all of a sudden, from land, you see your friend say, hey, man, I got a question for you. How do you suck somebody's dick? Hey, hey. And then you slap the water. Guy's slapping the water. Hey, I need to know. Hey, hey, hey. And you're just like, you're looking over. I'm like, the fucking, you're scaring the fish away. You're scaring the fish away. And all
that's
I can
a very
think,
good analogy. Yes. Everything's can, quite calm. Yes. Yeah.
And you know, fish are those weird things where you just never know. There could be anything in the air. I'm dealing with this Food Network guy and we call him the fog. I call him the fog because like I'll get him. We'll come up with something. And then he just vanishes like the fog.
Into the mist.
And I can't keep my arms around him. I can't grab him. I can't get a hold of him. He just disappears like mist.
Yeah.
And we call him the fog. I call him the fog. Allison says to me, she's like, have you gotten a hold of so-and-so? And I'm like, fog. I can't, you know, he slips in when you, and then he slips away. And and it's like all these guys, these potential customers, you have to see like fucking fish. Mm-hmm. And then when you say something, you know, there could be any breeze could steer them the wrong way from getting their credit card and buying something from your website.
Yeah.
You know?
And one thing to consider is, right, there may be sort of, particularly with the show, we do in jokes, that kind of thing. So quite often people will comment, you know, those in jokes and that kind of thing. And okay, they may get a laugh, whatever. But you've got to remember, like 99% of people aren't part of this in joke.
Right.
They don't know even maybe that you do this show or whatever. So they're just like, why are they piling on this guy? Yeah, I'm going to fucking join in. You know, and you get these, you know, it's so what could be sort of friendly banter between friends, it's not the right place for it. It's not the right medium for it. It's not
and
the
this
right
is
place.
Not this is not meant to be like don't, you know. There's a guy I follow. He is a family run Italian restaurant, Italian sandwich place in New York. The sandwiches look fucking awesome. And he's kind of a character and he makes noises and faces and he's got expressions. All these guys have expressions. All I can think of is give me 5 years. I want to see this expression in 5 years. You're not going to want to do it. And the sandwiches look awesome. He's got a whole bit. He's very consistent, stuff like that. There's this group of people who always write in the comments, so when are you going to put the shit in it? Or like the feces and the poop. Oh. Where's the poop? And it's this group of people who are like, you read his comments, you're just like, why are these guys doing this to this guy's business? Yeah. Why are they, and he doesn't respond, and he's just like, you start to throw yourself around, and then they're going to make it worse, but it's just like, guy makes delicious sandwiches, he's got a bit of a character, and then these guys are like, they're making it hard for him to be as successful as possible, unnecessarily.
Yeah. Bizarre, isn't it?
It's really so bizarre. Now, the knife-making community is different. Because I hold the knife making community at a higher standard. So if you think I'm talking about you, I am, but I'm also thinking about you as in I have a higher respect and regards for you. So like, why not? Let's just talk about it. Now Fingal is our friend. We love Fingal. He took this amazing picture, or he had somebody take an amazing picture. We haven't talked to him about this, and I'm sure that he would be perfectly fine. Well, if he didn't, I'm with him. And, all of a sudden, he's got these famous guys responding. These famous guys, Jamie Oliver and Bill Durney is one of the best barbecue guys in the United States. Just, like, famous guys. They're, like, responding. And then these guys are, like, making all these, all these knife guys are making, like, boner jokes because there's, like, fucking sausages on there.
Yeah,
of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, like, you have the opportunity to be as helpful as you can to this guy. And I don't know Jamie Oliver. You wish you knew Jamie Oliver. I'm sure if you were in the situation, you'd be like, Amy, Jamie Oliver's responding to my. It's just like, why not be as helpful as possible instead of doing these, know your audience and know your time and place.
Yeah. And it's like low-hanging fruit jokes as well. You know, they're just...
Well, no disrespect to these guys. These guys are our friends. I'm with you. But it's just like, there is definitely like there's a lack of time and place understanding for a lot of this stuff. And I'm just like, imagine you're a pilot. Let's say you've spent all this time as a pilot and you know how to use the planes and you know it has the equipment and you understand everything. You spent years and years and years and you're about to come in for a landing. And then the landing strip is clear. It's a beautiful sunny day. You're all squared away, and then these clouds roll in, like, and you can't see. And all of a sudden, it's like you're kind of making it, the clouds are making it harder for you to, clouds are making it harder for you to land unnecessarily, right? And you say to yourself, yeah, well, Jeff, well, clouds aren't sentient. But you are. You are sentient clouds. You don't have to go in front. You're a sentient cloud. You don't have to. You don't have to drift in front of the pilot. You can keep it nice for him. He got to land that plane with ease. Let him land the plane with ease. And it's just like what I try to do on Instagram. You can. I don't fuck with people. I don't make jokes unnecessarily, especially on business pages. All I do is either be neutral or positive.
Yeah.
Neutral or positive.
I don't think any of this is done with malice.
No,
I don't
of course
think
not.
People, you know, people are trying to sort of bring people down.
No, of course not.
Sometimes you may be in the, you may be in the house with your wife, right?
Yeah.
And she'll say something and you may have a little funny little quip.
Right.
Right? And you think, you know, that's the time and place for it, you know?
Yeah, but then the Queen of England's sitting next to you and you're like... You know, I mean,
exactly.
It's like maybe not time,
not
place.
Not in a public sort of forum. Yeah, exactly. It's just bizarre. It is bizarre.
It's fine. I'm with these guys. I'm sending this with peace and love. And I, you are our guys. You are part of this community. I thought it's funny because it's happened to me a few times where I'm just like, you know, I'm working here, guys. Don't fuck with me now. I'm working here. I'm trying to like, you know, seal up a couple deals. And you know, obviously Fingal is so nice. He would never say anything other than you're my guys. But it's like. But it's like at the same time, it's like if it were me, oh, I would fucking lose my shit. I mean, you want to talk about
Jeff?
Oh, dude, I'm like you are excommunicated completely, 100%. This is like a vicious. You know, I'm having a hard enough time getting business going, and if you come in with fucking, you know, you have a bullshit and not being thoughtful to the fact that my business page, I'm trying to make something happen. Oh, you're out. You know, but with that said, it's like I think it's neutral. I do neutral or positive. Neutral being maybe you give it a heart or that's really cool, or give it like a champagne glass trophy. Awesome, cool. I keep it simple, but it positive, and I want people to. I want it positive. I don't want to have a whole thing. I don't want to ask people questions that are like diverting them from their business.
Yeah.
We got to do whatever it takes. And some of us, in terms of this community, I feel as though we need to be a little bit more conscientious of what we say and what we do instead of wondering, well, Instagram's fucking us up. Well, maybe this 2 to tango situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I completely agree.
And I'm saying this, and last but not least, this is not a situation where you have to write me. You know, I don't have to write Fingal. You don't have to write any. Fingal didn't even know I'm talking about this. You know, I've not said a word to him. I'm with him. He's with you. We're with you. But it's like, just use your head the next time. Because, like, these fish, you can't be, you know, asking about sucking dick when the fish are biting. You know what I mean? You know?
You're right. It's hard enough. But you know what? We can help our listeners. If you head over to texasfarrowsupply.com, anything you need is knife maker or farrier or blacksmith, whatever you may be, they've got it all in stock. And they also sell Indasa Rhino Wet. So if you haven't used Rhino Wet, it's the sandpaper that'll just make any hand sanding so much easier. Do yourself a favor, get yourself some Indasa Rhino Wet. And if you head over to texasfarrowsupply.com to buy it, you can get 10% off by using the promo code KnifeTalk10. So head on over to texasfarrowsupply.com. Get some of that Indasa Rhino Wet.
So we have questions, we have listener feedback, we have overrated, underrated, and we probably have a couple other things.
Let's do a few questions then, shall we?
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, you take the first one.
Guys, if you go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, you can interact with the show, you can send us messages, you can send us feedback, you can send us overrated, underrated. I'm not 100% sure everybody kind of understands the assignment, but we'll get to that later. This first one comes from Dawn to Dusk. From Dawn to Dusk. Hey, guys. Hope to find you well and sharp. Got a question for you. I was searching for food-safe methods to prevent rust on carbon steel knives, and eventually I found one that involves applying a food-safe oil evenly on the blade and then heating it in an oven at around 300 degrees, 150 Celsius, for 15 minutes. It claims that heating allows the oil to bond with the steel, and for the best results, the process should be repeated a couple times. Is this accurate? It seems somewhat similar to wok seasoning. process where oil is used to create a protective layer when using a wok at first the first time. A big hug to you all. Great riffs, Greg. Craig. It should be Craig. Great riffs, Craig. Smooth flips, Jeff. And fine grips, Mareko. So Dawn, from dawn to dusk, wants to know about sticking your knife in the oven.
I've never done it, but I mean, if you think of, you know, wok seasoning, that's basically what you do, and you know, you're never really sort of cleaning that off. But I think that's only if you're using them all of the time. I think if you're storing a knife away, I mean, in the past, as a one-off when I haven't had anything else to hand, I've used just like olive oil and put it on, and it'll go like rancid within days. Really, you've got to be really careful. So obviously, you want to use a food-safe oil. Camellia oil is what a lot of people use.
Mineral oil too.
Mineral oils, yeah. But with regards to sort of heating it up, I mean, you're not. Somebody will probably correct me here, but as far as I'm aware, you know, steels aren't really porous, so you're not sort of baking it into the steel, but you may be sort of slightly hardening the oil itself to, you know, so it sticks to the blade. Never done it. I can't see how it would work well. But I mean, if you just wipe with a little bit of oil and, you know, and if you're storing them for a long time, maybe, you know, wipe with a little bit of oil and leave a kitchen towel wrapped around or something like that. It's generally good enough. I've never heated it up and tried like seasoning the blade. What about you, Jeff?
I think that your number one is you're going to end up discoloring your knife. That's number one. Number two is Craig is 100% right. You're baking on a layer. When you're seasoning a pan, like a carbon steel pans are very in right now. I'll tell you how to do it. The best way to do it is, and most of these guys who make them don't even know, what the proper way is you get your oven to like 350 or something like that, and then you wipe it with high heat oil. The move is you stick it upside down into the oven and then you bake it. And when you do it upside down, it doesn't make a pool at the bottom of the pan. So you don't have a pool of oil at the bottom. Yeah. So if you do it upside down, that's a restaurant trick. It's really good. But for cast iron and stuff like that, it kind of probably does bake in a little inside the steel a little bit. But for a knife, especially the handle, you're going to fuck with, if it's a hidden tang knife, I don't know how it would handle the connection.
I hadn't even thought of the handle. I was thinking purely of the steel.
Yeah.
But this is a finished blade. It's going to have a handle. Jeez, yeah.
And if you have this, I mean, you might be screwing up the epoxy. If you have, brass Corbies, maybe they're going to get a little extra hot, and then they might burn the wood if you have wood or something like that. And this seems like a lot of extra. The other thing is you don't, if you have a knife you don't know that's like some of these professional knife companies is they're heat treating their knives on the soft side. And the reason why is like Wusthof and stuff like that's like 53 Wachwell, 52 Wachwell. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's because of the ease of sharpening for their people. But you don't know how they tempered it. You don't know how they do it. And if you put it at a temperature that's too high, you're going to destroy the knife, especially if it turns color. Like if it starts to turn color, like it turns blue. Yeah. You're going to really ruin your edge. So I think that that's a lot. I don't know. I mean, it might work for, you never, there's a million ways to skin a cat. And obviously we are the number one knife related podcast in this German infested planet, but I'm sure that there are other people who don't have podcasts who know better. You know, let's just say that. So my suggestion would be, it seems like a lot of work and you're going to get a fucking gunky ass knife, you know?
Yeah.
But if I were to stick it in an oven, I'll tell you which oven I'd stick it in.
Oh, nice. Nice transition.
If I'm going to stick it in an oven, I'm going to stick it in Even Heat. Evenheat-kiln.com for all your heat treating needs. If you're making knives, if you're fucking trying to, you could probably season a wok in one of them Even Heats. They're going to be a small ass wok. But you go to evenheat-kiln.com, get the tap control, get the solid state drive. They're the best. The customer service there is extraordinary. Talk to those guys all the time. Awesome guys. Evenheat-kiln.com. If you got to get it hard, use an Even Heat.
Nice. Okay, I'll take one from Corey Phillips. And Corey contacted us on Instagram. We are at Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, yes. DM us. And Corey's done exactly that. He says, how do you guys deal with brand and product image? I wonder if the latest knife I'm working is representative of my work. And if someone only saw that one piece, would they get an accurate representation of what I make? I think about this from a performance and design perspective, such as how the blade cuts, the weight, finish, handle, blade shape, etc. That's a really good question. Really
great
good
question.
You know, we mentioned earlier about some people having certain styles which are synonymous with them. Which let's face it, that's their brand. That's their product image. Yeah, it's a really good question, and I think there's two sides to this. The one is, yeah, the ideal is, you know, you get your own design, which people would know it automatically. That's yours. That's great. But also, I mean, you're going to learn a lot by doing something different. And also, if somebody's paying you and there's money in it, do what it takes. You know, so it's one of those things. But with regards to brand and product image, for me, it's about more than just the knife. It's about everything. I mean, you take a look at your socials, you take a look at your website, even the word. And I'm sure Jeff will be going through all of this now with their web developers. It's about everything that you put out there, how you communicate. It's your photography. It's everything. And I think, I mean, for Chop, it's very sort of clean and minimalist. And I think that comes down to the knives themselves as well, to the wording that I use on the website, to the photography, and just the whole sort of style, how you put yourself out there. So I think it is important. I think some people do it really, really well. You know, we've also already mentioned Toma, you know, his whole thing, everything just fits together perfectly. And, you know, you see some people, they may have a great website and it doesn't really match, you know, the style of knives that they make and things like that. Everything just needs to be thoughtful and to all come from the same place. I think it is really, really important. But as I say, if somebody's willing to pay you money for something that isn't necessarily your style and it's something that you'd like to do, I mean, go ahead with it. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean you then have to share that, whether that's on your socials or on your website. You know, that's it could be just a one-off. That's fine. But I'd say even if you are sharing these things, you know, you can get a style of photography. You know, the knives may be wildly different, but you can still do things. I mean, like, I don't... The Chop Instagram isn't really used now. But everything there had, you know, this, you know, a similar background.
Right.
And it's a style. And I think, yeah, just giving it some thought, it's not really that hard to come up with a sort of brand identity. But it needs to come through everything, your photography, your wording, and everything that goes with that.
I love everything you said, and this is something that I struggle with a lot. And a lot of it is to do with the fact that in a lot of knife makers that use Instagram really use social media as the avenue for sales.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to make the decision that we need, it's not the avenue for sales, but it's the avenue to get people to the website. And then the website is the avenue for sales. So we've gone through a lot of iterations in really regard what our brand identity is or the direction that this company wants to go in. And I've had to come to that's one of the reasons why we're redoing the website, because it's just like our traffic to the website is up, but we are not gaining and sales are ups from last year. I mean, you know, not, I mean, 10% or something like that, which is still, you know, I'll take it, you know, I'm happy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I always wonder about, am I representing, when I do the Instagram, and am I representing what we're doing? And part of it is I get like mixed results. I get a lot of people who have been following me for a long time, and then they make the decision to buy a knife after years. Mm. And that's, and I also think about what Chris Zeppieri says, is just like, you know, the reels are never green. They're things that they're just going to die on the vine, and you have to just put stuff out and be consistent. And I wonder if what the consistency of what I'm doing is represented on the website. And that's, things are going to change. Once we have the website done, it's probably going to take like 12 weeks or something like that. That's what the idea is.
Yeah.
I might have to change my direction and my approach in general. You know, I'm not saying that this is going to be a big. I'm hope to do this the same way I do it, but it changed when Reels came out, because beforehand I could just take a picture of a knife and people would like it and screenshot it and send it to me. And I want a knife like this. Now, when you look at my thumbnails, it's a little bit harder to understand what I do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm very well aware of that. And I, and it's just like, well, what are, where am I? You know, I'm trying to skirt the issues of what is the brand that we're trying to push, and what are, am I the brand? Is the sculpture the brand? Is the sculpture and the knives combined the brand? And how are we, you know, how are we navigating this? And should I just be doing this? If I do this consistently because I'm having fun, is that valuable too? Which is yes. The answer is yes. When I do something that's fun and people seeing I'm having fun, I get more engagement too. So it's a tricky one, because you, I understand what I'm saying. I went to his webpage. I wanted to say, I wanted to look at, not his webpage, his Instagram, and say, if I look at his thumbnail, it is a representative of the knives that he makes, and I'm not 100% sure. But then I feel the same way when I go to my website, on my Instagram page. But we're growing, and we're sales are good, and we're getting more engagement, and we're getting more people seeing what we're doing. When I post stuff, it goes not as fast as I'd like it to, but it's a tricky one. It's a fucking good ass question, Corey.
Yeah, it's difficult, but we're in a really unique position as sort of makers, because, you know, the majority of us were either single makers or we've got a small company, so there may be sort of a handful of people working with you. But we're selling across the world. We're selling internationally. We all are, you know? So, that, you know, that's quite a unique position. So do you market yourself as this, you know, this artisan and, you know, that kind of thing? Or do you market yourself as I'm this big company shipping around the world, which we all are? But it goes hand in hand with what we always say of, you know, you need to be a marketer, you need to be the maker, you need to be the accountant, you need to do it all. So yeah, it is difficult to even just to find the time to give this kind of stuff thought. But that's all it is, really, thought, and being thoughtful about what you put up. So this goes right back to, you know, that, you know, the first stuff we were talking about, you know, the kind of stuff you portray yourself as, and even when you're commenting on people's stuff, everything just needs to be consistent. It is difficult, but a lot of it is just thought, and, you know, thought is free.
If I just do a knife flipping video, which do well, because now people like to see, you know, the transition, you know, and it's fun. I don't get the same traction as I do when the lighting is nice and I'm outside grilling something and I make it, you know, make a quick video that's like under a certain amount of seconds. I get far more engagement with that. And then as long as I have my knives in the video and then the logo at the end, it's enough, you know, it's enough for people to kind of be engaged and keep following along as long as, you know, I'm going to be providing something. And I don't want to, at one point I thought, man, I should be doing like those how-to videos of cooking. And I'm just like, fuck it. I don't want to do that. I'm not, you know, so it is really tricky to figure out. And then I'm constantly talking to Allison and Tony and saying, is this good? Is this good? They're like, yeah. No, it's great. It's fun. Talking to the PR people and the PR people. The fucking PR people. The shit that they tell me to do, I'm just rolling my fucking eyes. I'm just like, I'm glad I'm not paying you by the hour. I swear to God, I'm glad I'm not paying you by the hour, because Jesus Christ. But all jokes aside, they are doing a great job, and we're now doing some more stuff. I shouldn't make too many jokes. Who knows who the hell's listening? But I'm 100% with you. Peace and love. Peace and love. All right. So,
but people have really high expectations now, even from, you know, Instagram posts and Reels and that kind of thing, you know, because you see such like professionally done stuff, and if you're just flipping through and it, you know, if it's badly lit and all the rest of it, a bit of thought, that's all it takes. And whilst you're there thinking, you may want to think where you're going to get your supplies from. And you may think, hey, Lawrence at maritimeknifesupply.com is a good guy. Maybe I should get my stuff from there. He's the Canadian distributor for combat abrasives, RhinoWet, RhinoStick, all the stuff that we sell, steel, belts, handle materials, tools, forges, kilns, and more. Always has a deal. If you buy a 10-pack of belts, you get 10% off, all that kind of stuff. No code needed at all. Just head on over to maritimeknifesupply.com and see what he's got. Fill up that basket and help out Lawrence.
And he's also sponsoring the Great Lakes Custom Knife Show August 17th. It's coming right. It's a week away in Goderich, Ontario, Canada's largest knife show, on the picturesque shores of Lake Huron, featuring some of the best talented Canadian knife makers in the knife making community. Go follow Great Lakes Custom Knife Show or visit more for information. There's going to be a lot of great guys there. So thanks to Maritime Knife Supply for sponsoring a great event in the knife community.
Cool. Right, should we just do one more each and then we'll move on to some feedback, something like
that? Yeah, absolutely.
Go for it.
All right, this one comes from Trails Edge Knives. Here's a question slash debate. What's your favorite mono steel blade finish? Out of the ones I can think of, matte finish or belt, or matte finish is either belt or hand sanded finish, a mirror polished finish, mirror finish, acid stone wash finish, sand bleed pat, bead blasted, or Cerakote, mustard patina, any more you can think of. What are your favorite mono steel finishes? He goes, personally, I do a lot of stainless, so when the finish looks good, he likes to do, usually does an acid wash finish. Makes for the podcast, right. Makes many road trips for work easier. So what are your preferred finishes for a carbon steel blade?
I like simplicity, yeah. And things. And again, this goes back to that last question about brand and product image. I like things just to look clean and unfussy. So I personally like a polished or mirror finish or maybe just a matte finish, but nothing crazy, you know? Yeah. And I think that does go back to that last question. But to be honest, I haven't really tried much. You know, I've done some sort of acid stuff on stone, on carbon knives and all that, and, mustard patinas, that kind of thing. But it just doesn't really do it for me. You know, it's just one of the personal preference.
It's a great question because, like, I wish my belt finishes made my knives look better. I don't feel as though my belt finishes make them look better. And I had a conversation with my business partner years ago, and I said, I really want to get into belt finishes. And he said, why? And I said, well, I think they could cut down on some labor, and if I do a good job, people will kind of respond to it. And he goes, well, they make the knives look better. And I said, well, not really, because I feel as though a hand-sanded finish – those lines going from the heel of the knife to the tip really guide your eye in the direction of the knife blade. And we've said this a million times before, the only person whose belt finishes look appropriate are Florentine kitchen knives, because his stacked handles are going in the same direction as the belt finish. And it makes sure it doesn't stop your eye. And so he said to me, he's like, well, if it doesn't look better, then we're not going to do it, or you shouldn't do it. And I really like that answer of, like, that's why, I mean, that is probably of all the processes on the stuff that we make, the hand sanded finish is the hardest. And David is doing them all the time, and he's doing a great job, but it's not easy. On a carbon steel knife, I hate to say it, and this might be a weird take, I do really, really, really like mustard patina. And the reason why is when I think about my knives in general, I think about, like, when they leave the shop, I want them to look great. I also want them to look great when they're being used. And part of me is just like, I've had, knives, patina at the fucking drop of a hat. I've had wrapped them up in paper towel. I've stopped using paper towel for certain things because I feel as though paper towel hangs on a humidity and then you'll get a little bit of a patina, even wrapped up in a dry place. And I feel like I'm very conscious of that. The mustard patina is really nice because it does give a scaffolding for future patina to develop.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel as though if you do it right and you do it nice, I believe that it's a nice, long-lasting finish for a carbon steel knife. I love doing them. I think they look fucking great. And I never make it seem as though I'm trying to scam someone and saying this, like, fake Damascus. I'm not doing that at all. I explain it. And usually, especially when I have customers who want a carbon steel knife because they've been told that carbon steel is the only steel you should be using. And, that's some horse shit, too.
Yeah.
I really explain to them what could happen. And I say, if I do this mustard patina, I send pictures of the mustard patina. I said, I've gotten it down where I really like the way they come out. I think it looks great. And it will give a scaffolding for the future patina to develop in a manner that's a little bit more not random based on what you're cutting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thanks, Dylan.
Yeah. Dylan, good job.
Falcon Knives AK have sent a question saying, gentlemen, this this can't be for us. I've had a few organizations approach me to donate a knife so they can auction off at their events. Do you have any experience in donations for organizations? Do you recommend it? Is it a tax write-off? He said, I remember Jeff mentioning things he's done in the past for police forces. I thought it could be good publicity and help out the organizations. Thanks. I'll take this first because I know Jeff's going to have a far better answer than me because he's done it a lot more. I've had lots of people approach me, but generally, I don't like the idea of not having any control over it. And it, particularly if it's going to, like, to an auction or something like that, there's no control over it. And also,
what do you mean?
You have no control over how much it goes for.
Oh,
which could be quite a negative as well. But also
25
I mean,
bucks.
But also in regards to the sort of publicity of it as well, you know. They're going to want to be pushing your brand to push them, and if they do a really bad job of that, I think it can look quite bad on you as well. It's probably lack of control which would be the biggest thing for me. Not knowing how they're going to publicize it. That's probably the issue for me. But I know, Jeff, you've done it many times. So, you know, do you see it as a positive thing?
I've done it many times and I've regretted a few of them. Mm. And I also, you know, for years on this podcast, I've said, and when it comes down to it, nobody cares. Mm. Nobody cares has always been my slug line because just like, I think we overthink things too much sometimes. In regards to when I get asked by a favor for a friend, like I do stuff with the FBI and I do stuff for the police foundations for, you know, raising money for families of fallen victims and stuff like that. And fallen officers, I've done stuff for the FBI, I've done, you know, and it's usually a friend of mine will ask me to, and it's hard for me to say no, you know, that's number one is sometimes you get put in this position. I've done something for other people and, you know, you don't really, you can't, everything you do, you can't expect immediate results from. That's the issue. And there's no, you can't nickel and dime everything. That's the biggest problem that we have in this community. And there's this kind of sense of desperation. I'm not saying that Falcon Eyes AK is in this position, but I feel as though we weigh the options and we're hoping for an immediate return on investment. And that's, you got to throw that out. You got to do it because you want to, and then maybe something happens. Now, when I did something for the FBI, I ended up getting one new customer and guy bought a ton of stuff. And I was like, wow, this guy's buying a lot of stuff. And I finally got to meet him and he was just like, oh, how did you find out about me? He's like, I found out about you doing that thing for the FBI. And we've become, you know, he's become a great customer, a great guy, came to take classes at the Center for Mental Arts. And we had a nice conversation and it did turn into something. I wasn't expecting it. I believe that you should do. I think that it's good to get out there. I think it's also good to get out of your comfort zone in terms of what you're willing to send away. I've been sending more knives out this past year, and what we're doing now is we have a spreadsheet and we're deducting them at the end of the year. So we have an accounting department. We have all that stuff in place. So, well, not an accounting department. We hire accountants who are on the payroll and they do all that stuff. So I think that it's good to not, you know, you're starting to take your business to the next level. I think some things you have to be able to not expect an immediate return on investment. I think we get a little bit too, I need a return now. And the fucking hardest part about this business is you got to pay your rent. You got to pay your electrical bill. You got to pay insurance, which a lot of you guys are just like, insurance? I need insurance. There's a lot of stuff you got to pay for. And then all of a sudden it gets a little daunting. Sometimes, you know, a little good marketing is worth it, and I'm for it. I feel very important about doing stuff that you want. We do collaborations with chefs. We're working on four, and our slug line is you're going to get the knife, you're going to be able to design the knife, and then 10% of the sales will go to the charity of your choice. So we send, you know, we're part of, that's really good too. So I believe in charity is really good. I believe in, you know, it's a nice gesture to do that stuff. But I think that you can't think that it's going to be immediate return.
Yeah, maybe don't expect too much from it. Yeah.
Just, you're doing a nice job. If you can deduct it at the end of the year, that's good too. Because you need to, you know, less you have to pay the government is good as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, shall we do some
We have listener feedback, we have overrated, underrated, and I wonder if we have any more would you rather. We do have a one would you rather.
Okay, well, you set up some listener feedback, and I'll tell everybody all about Dharmasteel. If you're looking for a stainless Damascus-style steel, Dharmasteel is the way to go. Dharmasteel.se, all made in Sweden. They have amazing, amazing patterns, and they're also listed with lovely photos on the website. So, yeah, take a look at Dharmasteel.se. We work with them every year on the Dharmasteel Chef Invitational, and this year you can get the steel to join in the Dharmasteel Chef Invitational at Maritime Knife Supply, maritimeknifesupply.com. And that'll be on us before we know it. So make sure you're getting your Dharmasteel, get involved with the Chef Invitational. If you don't know what that is, just Google Dharmasteel Chef Invitational. You'll see exactly what's going on there. But also follow them on Instagram. They're Dharmasteel AB on Instagram. Great, great people making a great, great product. So head on over. And if you go to Dharmasteel and you use, I believe, promo code KNIFETALK10, you'll get 10% off an order as well. So that, I don't think that applies for the Dharmasteel Chef Invitational steel. I think this is, you know, for their sort of general orders. But go and have a look. It's beautiful, beautiful stuff and far easier to use than you would have thought. And again, that's all on the website, how to use it.
Let's just do a couple listener feedbacks and then we'll go do some overrated, underrated.
Yeah.
This, if you want to send in your feedback or anything else, go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. Just to let you know, September 14th and 15th is the Louisiana Custom Knife Show, and go to lacustomknives.net. Tables and booths are available. I think it's in Gonzales, Louisiana. Good luck to you guys, and I hope you get down there. It's going to be the 14th and 15th, lacustomknives.net. This first listener feedback comes from Kale Brickerson. It's Caleb Erickson. Sorry, Kale. Kale? I thought it was Kale Berrickson. What a dumbass. Sorry, Caleb. I appreciate the business talk. That's such a crucial part of the venture that people don't always think about. I once asked an owner of a metal fab shop I worked in, what's the difference between his business and mine if I were to start one? He said it was contacts, contracts, and how much money you can put in without being worried to lose after machinery, rent, and payroll. That's the practical side, and I appreciate you all discussing. Creative people often benefit so much from a business-minded partner. I appreciate what you guys do. Thanks so much for being there. So
nice.
The hardest part about this fucking business is figuring out how to make cookies and you're selling them outside your house. And then all of a sudden you're just like, I know how to make cookies in my house. And then you're just like, I should start a business. Now you got to get a store. You got to pay for the fucking Wi-Fi. You got to pay. It's nonstop. Everything. It's just such a huge production. So,
yeah, I've got one too. I've got an email saying, love the podcast. I really appreciate listening to you three. I couldn't help but let you know that in the middle of the marketing talk, Apple threw in a couple of commercials. The first one was for Mary Poppins on Fifth Avenue, and the second one was for fentanyl test strips in relation to lethal.
Perfect.
The first time a podcast and his commercials work so well together. Nothing but love and gratitude for you guys, and thanks again for your content and the opportunities you give. Been listening a long time, but wanted to share the fun moment, and that's from Clint Long.
Oh, we know Clint.
At first, Clint's I was like, at first, I was like, is that one of those names that else?
No, but Clint's a good dude. He came down to the Center for Metal Arts, and he did the friction folder class. Clint's nice. The man, and what a good guy. A good guy, cool. Real good guy. That's a nice thing to say, Clint. Thank you so much.
Those fentanyl strips, eh?
Yeah, well, I think he's in the Pacific Northwest, so it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. Northerners are like, you know, they're half in the bag. Randy Reichark says, I want to hop on and say that you guys were heavily underrating the simple satisfaction of obtained from batoning wood. Last episode, I said that batoning wood is ridiculous, and you should. Every time I've ever gone camping, I just find a branch and kick it. And then I kick it, and it kicks smaller pieces. And then I usually kick the bigger pieces, and I'm like, the people batoning wood in the middle of the woods are crazy. So Randy's telling me I'm underrating it. He says, when my son turned 10, I gave him a large camp knife and showed him how to safely baton larger pieces of wood into smaller kindling for fire. I showed his older sister as well, and for the past 3 years, it's been easily one of their top favorite things to do while we go camping. It's super satisfying and rewarding for them to prep the wood like this for a fire. As it stands, I have to make my daughter her own camp knife now because they're fighting over who gets to use the knife first. In my opinion, batoning with a knife is far safer for kids anyway than using a hatchet. Don't knock it till you try it. Pro tip, don't try batoning with your mama's flimsy-ass bread knife. So no. Randy's got a good situation going where his children like to baton wood.
Nice. Probably safer than kicking wood, too, let's face it.
Well, I mean, if you're in a... I mean, I always... Obviously, I wasn't thinking about children doing it. I was thinking about, like, usually you'll see a video of a guy wearing tan, you know, jungle clothes, and maybe they have a tan jungle shirt, and maybe they'll have like some sort of jungly like hat, and they look like, you know, they're about to, you know, embark on some sort of safari, and then they're batoning wood in this quote survival like situation. And part of me always thinks it's just like, you're kind of wasting energy by doing all this batoning, and why don't you just like find some fucking twigs and start the fire? Because it's just like, what the fuck is going on here? So I did get a lot of messages. I didn't even hold on to them, but they're just like, yeah, that batoning wood is some bullshit. So I'm with you, Randy. I think that anything you could do with your children that's safe and they're having a good time and they want to be around you is good. That's what it comes down to. If they want to do it and they want to be around you, that's a fucking win as far as I'm concerned. So shall we go into overrated, underrated?
Let's do it, yes.
All right, guys, here's what we're going to do. I want to explain what overrated, underrated is. What you're going to do is you're going to give us a scenario or a thing.
Explain this really clearly, Jeff, because I know you'll be getting
because
some
usually
through,
what happens usually what happens is someone will send us what they think is overrated or underrated, and I'll end up getting the Magna Carta when all I want is like a word or two. You know, I don't need a, you know, say here. I wrote down some general purpose ones for us to do, but in the meantime, let's just explain. So go to Knife Talk Podcast Instagram. You can send your overrated or underrated or perfectly rated. And Justin Richards has done that. He asks, is this overrated or underrated? Super steals. Are super steals overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated? Super steals being like, let's just say Magna Cut or CPM 154 or these kind of like the kind of steals that that our boy used to love, who are the Bob Loveless knives. He loved Super Steels. You know, he wore that Ross the train conductor's hat and talking about how much he loves Super Steels. So are Super Steels overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated?
I'd say for this show, probably underrated, because we don't really go into details about steels, do we, really?
No.
You know, the advantage, you know, we'll answer questions about them, that kind of stuff. So they're probably just flying right over my head, so probably hugely underrated, you know. But yeah, I've got no comparison to give, really. I haven't really used them.
That's one thing about this podcast that I like, is I know that it would be very easy for us to dive deep into, you know, a particular steel, and we talk about the science and we talk about that. I'm sure that Mareka would love nothing more than to dive deep into one little thing. But I honestly believe that this podcast is supposed to be a entry point into knife making.
Yeah,
so
of course,
I want it to be broad. I want to tell jokes. I want to do hot takes. I want to keep it in the knife game. But at the same time, even like earlier today when I was, you know, throwing, you know, shooting across the bow, I was trying to be, you know, mildly entertaining and keep you listening. So I believe, in my opinion, I've used a 154 CM one time, and he treated great. It was hard as shit. It blew out all my goddamn belts. It was hard as shit to use. I think that it is based off of what people are looking for in a steel. I think the more steels that are made, the better, because now you're going to be able to really fine tune the things that you like. I got MagnaCut a lot. MagnaCut came up a lot in the overrated, underrated. And my opinion is, as a, and not just because I'm a friend, we're friends with Laren Thomas. I feel as though when you got guys like Laren Thomas who are creating steals that are fitting between two types of, you know, something that hasn't made before, you're giving the customer who is a knife maker or whatever more options. I can't think that that's bad. You know, if you're looking for a different type of toughness, you're different. I think more variety in the knife game, in the knife steels, is better.
Of course, yeah. That's a good point mentioning, you know, Dr. Laren Thomas. There is, we're not experts. We do this to learn ourselves, to have fun, and that kind of stuff. So yeah, for us to be going deep dives about these steels, you know, there's better people for that. And you know, occasionally we'll have them on as guests, that kind of thing. And it's probably about time we got Dr. Laren Thomas back on again, actually, if he'd be up for it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But, yeah, like Jeff said, a lot of what we do is for entertainment and mainly to entertain ourselves, let's face it.
100%. Yeah. So whose stomach is gurgling? Is it yours
mine.
Or mine?
It's mine. It's mine. Really badly, yes.
Because I'm thinking to myself, is that me or is that
it's
you?
Me. It is me, unfortunately.
You're the best. Yeah. God bless you. All right, next one comes from Baltic Blades. Baltic Blades wants to know if QMI is underrated or overrated. QMI.
You first of all have to tell me what QMI is.
All right, QMI is like the steel with, it's got a core, a carbon steel core, and then it has a jacket of different things, like what Baker Forge does, where they have Damascus on the outside, and then they'll have the Q is the copper. So you have copper shims in there.
Yeah.
Is that, you know what? That was really good that you asked that, because then I can kind of explain to people. QMI is, I'm using it all the time because Baker Forge sends me steel and I love using it. So is QMI overrated or underrated?
Ah, now this is a difficult, because I love it. I think it looks really cool. But if I say it's underrated, Ebert's going to go out and do it. And then it becomes the CrossFit of steels. So I'm going to say overrated, but secretly I feel maybe underrated, because I think it does look really, really cool.
I'm going to say it's underrated for this reason. It's so easy to grind because you have a core, and when you have those copper shims, you can see where as you're grinding, you can see where the fuck you are, because you have these like very coppery lines. So when you're grinding both sides, you know where to start and finish. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when you're grinding a knife, all of a sudden it's markers. It's markers that are telling you where you are in terms of the core. So, and like you said, fucking stuff looks awesome. Now is the juice worth the squeeze? As long as you're happy with the core material, it's great. You know, so like. I mean, I love it, so I think it's underrated. But at the same time, I know that, you know, Craig is right. It's going to turn it into the CrossFit. It probably already is the CrossFit of steels. But I think QMI is great. I think for the maker, it's great. I think for the consumer, it's great. I think it's really, really cool stuff. Yeah. Okay,
You mentioned how easy it is to grind. That may be because you're a super-duper grinder, though, do you think?
Oh, dude, without the Broadbeck, I wouldn't have had a different answer. Broadbeck Ironworks makes the best grinders, and I love those guys. And they make grinders that go horizontally, vertically. They're constantly coming up with new attachments, not only for their grinder, but for your grinder. If you have a grinder that need a contact wheel, a specific contact wheel, or a disc sander, or a waterfall platen, or I can name off a pile of them I don't have in front of me, but they got a pile of them. I actually did an integral. I used the integral attachment to help me put in my integrals. It's a great company. They're making great stuff. They have, they're taking orders for the Power Hammer. And if you go to broadbeckironworks.com, put in the promo code KNIFETALK10, you're going to get 10% off of everything. So I highly suggest checking out what's going on over at Broadbeck Ironworks.
Nice.
Another one that comes from, another overrated, underrated that comes from Baltic Blades is, overrated, underrated, choil shots. You know when people take pictures
choil
of the choil
shots.
You know choil shots?
Yes, yeah. I think they are there to show off to other makers. I think most, whether depending on who the end user is, They don't give a shit. but I think a really highly polished and a rounded edges on a trailer, things like that, just gets other makers excited, I think, really.
Right.
They appreciate the extra work. I think that's what's really happening. You're flexing to the other makers.
You're not sweeping the dirt under the bed.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Good point, yeah.
You're not like under the rug, lifting the rug up, sweeping under the rug, putting the rug back down. Your shiny-ass choil shots are just like, okay, we got it. We got it. Your attention to detail. I got you. I got you. I always thought it was just like looking at the geometry of, you know, you can see the geometry of the edge.
True, yeah.
But I'm going to say, do you think it's overrated or underrated?
I'd say underrated. Underrated maybe. Yeah. Okay. I think a lot of people put a lot of work into it, and I think it should be shown off. Not a lot of people do that. So I think maybe underrated, maybe more people should do it. Let's see what you've got. Let's see your choils.
Show me your choils, baby. Hey, choil baby. Shots. Your choil. Hey, it's like, hey, baby, your choil shiny? Show me that choil. I think they're overrated because I can't take one without seeing my fat fingers in them. I can't get a good picture with my fucking holding up in the sky and I'm trying to get it. And then you see the fucking fingers. P.S. back to what we were talking about in the beginning where somebody says something unnecessary. Some chef was watching my video about me making a shrimp sandwich and something like that. And all he writes is nice fingernails. Nice fingernails. And I'm just like, I fucking hit my thumb with a hammer. And, when you get that fucking bump, I mean, it's like, it legitimately, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
So, like, I sent back my
How's your Epicurious video going now, by the way? I don't know.
You want to know a funny thing? Is years ago, I have not gone back to that Epicurious video. I did go back years ago, and I heard some dude wrote. So if you go on YouTube and go to Epicurious, I wrote a little episode of I don't remember the fucking name of it was. It was called.
I'm just finding out.
Price points.
Yes.
And it was like, you know, I was comparing stuff and I wrote the whole thing. And a guy had written on there, like, this is the reason why you can't trust these things. These guys liar. He said, I said something about 52-100 steel being, you know, this, that, and the other thing, carbon. And he wrote, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. 52-100 is not carbon steel. And it was like, he just fucking basically just called me a liar or something like that. And I didn't write back. I don't write back on it. You know, YouTube, but I said something on the podcast I had Jesse Oetta on. This is years ago. I said, yeah, this fucking guy, he claims that I'm full of shit. I don't know what I'm talking about. And he's saying that 52-100 is, you know, not carbon steel, which is clearly carbon. I mean, I did the best mustard patinas on 52-100. I love 52-100. And I said about it. And then I guess people listening to Full Blast just destroyed him on that comment. And then he erased it and then wrote something back saying like, well, he doesn't know about this then. The guy was like, he didn't get me. So he tried to fucking come back and get me on something else. So the answer is I have not checked in a long, long time.
I'm on it now. So it was 6 years. 6 years ago you did that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
6 years ago, yeah.
5.4. No, sorry. Those are the subscribers. How many views? Where do I see? 4.8 million views.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's incredible. But I'm just looking now. Just sorted comments by the most.
Let's stop everything. We're overrated. Underrated is over. Let's read some comments. This
by
is
the
perfect.
Most recent. Okay, so this is
go ahead.
This is 6 years old.
I've not read these.
You're just be this month.
I think we were a couple years ago. I think the first episode of us together. I told you, read the comments and I'll have a natural reaction. So it's been
possibly
6 years. Let's do it again. So go ahead.
The most recent comment was just this month. Gross nails, buddy. The next one. You got to do something about those fingernails, chief. The next one. His hands are so ugly, it's distracting. Yeah. Bro, take care of your hands and nails first.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all about your hands. All about your hands, which is great.
Oh, God. And what was the most recent? How many months ago did they?
This month?
Really,
well, yeah. Yeah.
This month? They're fucking writing about my fucking month. Fingernails?
Yeah. That's 6 years ago. So
they got a point.
8,343 comments. And I'm sure 6,000 of them are talking about your hands.
The funniest one of them all, the only one that's worth a damn, is the funniest one of all was a guy says he looks like he went to third base with a pencil sharpener. Fucking the best goddamn crack of all. I mean, that's funny. Funny. Yeah, well, listen. The other thing is like I'm very conscious. So a guy wrote on this the nice fingernails, and I wrote back the emoji of the fingernail polish. You know, the fingernail polish one. Yeah, I mean, what person, what mental patient is cooking? You know, there's so many people now. Here's the crazy part. I went to get more nitrile gloves for the shop, so we could, you know, so we're using epoxy and all this stuff, and you don't want to have epoxy in your hands. That's a disaster. They're not even selling rubber gloves. Nitrile gloves in the mechanical or the glove department. All those rubber gloves now are being sold in the barbecue area because these motherfuckers are watching these barbecue guys all cooking with rubber gloves. They're all using. So now when I want to go get rubber gloves at Home Depot, I got to go to the fucking barbecue aisle.
Jeez.
Because like some asshole cooking their ribs are going to, you know, putting their gloves on. All of a sudden it's like health department time. Get the fuck out of here.
Jeez.
I will do it.
Right. Before we head off, I want to read another comment because
this is
going to make you feel old, okay?
All right. You can give it to me. You can give me as many as you want. It's fine by me.
Jack Cloud is his YouTube handle. Yep. He says, I remember watching this back when I was 13. And I still rewatch it every once in a while. As if it's like this ancient tomb out there.
What a fucking hilarious thing to write. And now I'm 40. I show this to my grandchildren.
Yeah. You
know? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is funny. You got any more worth a damn?
It's just all about this guy's fingernails look terrible.
Why? What's the point of going on a
construction worker than chef or cook. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's exactly right. It's exactly right. So to back it up, I was originally supposed to do a video, and then Will Griffin did one. And then Will Griffin, I was going to do the one that the Epicurious had Will Griffin do. And then he was supposed to do the price points, and then they switched them up. Hmm. And when they first had Will on, and they grab us like fast. We don't have time to go. I didn't have time to do a manicure. I'm also running a shop. However, my wife did say, is there anything you can do about your fingers? And I'm just like, what now? What can I fucking do now? You know, I can't do, I mean, I'm fucking working here. And I remember Will Griffin, if you ever look at the Will Griffin, God bless Will Griffin, what a good fucking good dude. He looked like, number one, he looked like, on that video, he looked like a zombie. He looked like they just dragged him out of the Hudson River. I mean, he looked very pale. He had a shaved head. He looked, his rings under his eyes. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, Will. I wonder what. And then when I saw Will, I said, yeah, I'm going to do the other one we were talking about. He's just like, well, just, you know, just watch out the comments. Watch out for the comments. I'm like, oh, you don't say. But
Here's another.
Jesus Christ.
Vince Vaughn really knows his knives. And I'm going to finish on one more because we started the show. We were talking about, you know, building people up in the comments and not, you know, bringing them down.
Yeah.
So this one is from the Woolston Beast. and it simply says, Jeff, he is so handsome. There we go.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Woolston Beast. Oh, have mercy. I just don't understand the whole commenting thing. I'll tell you one thing, and we can get into the after show. I guess we're in the after show now.
I think so, yeah.
I went to see Deadpool and Wolverine. Mm. For this reason, number one, I was in the early 80s, I was an X-Men fan. I loved the early 80s X-Men. I loved them. Like, the comic book was like part of my joy in life was Wednesday getting new comic books. I love the X-Men. And I wasn't wild. I was psyched when it first came out, the X-Men first came out and Wolverine and all that stuff. But then I was just like, oh, this is going to be great because they're really trying to make it like the comic book. I went to go see it because I just didn't want it to get spoiled, because that is what people are doing on the internet, is they're taking bootleg images and they're using these images where they're telling you don't spoil it for everybody, but they're doing all these spoilers to get people to look at their websites or to click on their Instagram file.
Yeah.
And it's so gross because you're spoiling. I've seen the movie now. I thought it was good. But now just by even being on Instagram and Facebook, I've seen all the major parts.
Yeah.
And it's just like, the fucking sucks.
Yeah. People are so thirsty for people to just look at their stuff.
Ruined it.
Crazy. Crazy. Right, well, I've really got to go because my stomach is in knots at the moment. I don't know if you can hear it. It is going crazy.
I heard it before.
All so, right. So hungry. So hungry. Right, thank you all for listening. And we shall speak to you again next week. Bye for now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.